Hello and welcome to another episode of Insights from Sightless Friendly Church. I am Lynn Davis and with me is Matthew Horspool, and we are continuing to talk about the sacraments, and we have reached the final sacrament, which is of course funerals.
Yeah, they're very sad occasions, funerals, aren't they? They're very sad occasions, and then you realise that actually funerals are partly about commemoration and sadness, and partly about celebration of life and things. And I have very interesting perspectives on funerals, because being in a cathedral choir, we've sung in quite a lot of funerals, and I can also play a bit of organ, and so I've played the organ at many funerals, and I've seen various different types of funerals, actually, from very conservative, highbrow funerals with Holy Communion, right the way through to funerals of people who possibly didn't come to church very much. You know, they were baptized and then they were married and then they came back to church for their funeral. Quite a lot to unpack, really. I don't know, Lynn, what your experience of funerals has been. I mean, we're both quite young, so hopefully your experience of funerals is minimal.
Well, unfortunately, I have been burying both my parents. I didn't bury them myself, of course, but I did attend their funerals and planned at least my father's funeral. So I have funeral planning skills and expertise that I probably shouldn't really have at my age. However, I do have experience of different types of funeral. To the ones you said that are more highbrow, I have actually never seen a funeral where anyone take communion, but I have experienced those funerals that are very religious, in a sense, in that they're very ritualistic and that there is a very strict liturgy. And I have experienced funerals actually in the big church that I was in London, where we had lots of Africans and Caribbeans, and where funeral was all about singing and dancing, because like you said, it is a celebration of life as well as a commemoration. But I thought that was a bit strange the first time I experienced it. So we are burying someone and we are singing very fast-paced praise and worship songs and we are dancing. You know, this is a bit outside of my experience, and I've never experienced something like that before. But it was actually not a bad thing to experience, and I can definitely see the celebration side to a funeral, because of course, if you do have faith, you are thinking that this person is actually now joined God in heaven, and everyone that they know and in heaven, and that is actually an occasion to celebrate as much as you're sad for parting from them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the other difference between a funeral and the other sacraments that we've talked about in this series are actually that the funeral is the one sacrament where you won't be attending your own. So you'll only ever be attending other people's funerals, which adds an extra spin on it. And is it fair to say it's the sacrament where most people will be the most distracted, because they're either celebrating or they're commemorating or mourning. And when you're in the middle of mourning, sometimes people with sight loss sort of drift to the bottom of the pile in terms of making the service accessible. Certainly I've seen that in my experience of family funerals.
Yeah, that's true. Also, as somebody who has been a mourner and planned the funeral service, there's also coming at it from the view of being sat at the front and having loads of people just coming up to you and just have no idea what's happening, because you're concentrating on the occasion where you are at the funeral, and just not knowing who's hugging you from one minute to the next, because of course people don't always say who they are, because it needs to be a pretty swift thing. They go up, they put the flowers on the coffin, and they go down to sit down. So from that point of view, it's also a very strange and can be a very confusing experience.
Yeah, and people sound different when they're grieving, don't they? Have you noticed this? People's voices tend to get a bit deeper when they're trying to be quiet. If they're crying, their accents come out much more strongly, or at least can do. So people that normally sound a little bit northern can sound really northern at a funeral, and it gets really confusing, because I've found myself not recognising people who I would normally recognise.
Yeah, that's right. And of course, they're trying to whisper as well, which makes their voices a bit different as well, because they're trying to talk under their breath. And yeah, their voices get deeper, like you said, huskier. They don't quite sound like themselves. And maybe they will say who they are, but then I think that is the occasion where people are not really thinking, oh, I need to make sure I say my name so that X, Y, and Z will recognize me.
Especially, as you say, because they're in such a rush.
Yeah.
Have you had the experience of having to deliver a eulogy or read a reading at a funeral?
I didn't, because my parents put in their will that they wanted me to sing at the funeral. So that is what I have experience with. I left the eulogy to my other dad, so my dad who's a minister, and that was really beautiful to have him reading the eulogy of my parents. But we did write it together, and we did sit down and sort of come up with the most important points together. So I was part of creating it, but not performing it.
Okay. But even to sing at a funeral, I mean, to be performing in an event like that is really quite special, isn't it? I played the organ at my nan's funeral, and it was really quite emotional, actually, because it's actually all I really wanted to do was mourn. And yet here I am playing the organ, and I just about got through it, but I'm glad I wasn't singing at that particular one.
I was glad that I was singing, because for me, it felt very much like I had a task. And although mourning in and of itself would have been more than enough, there is also that feeling that I had, and this could have been because my parents were the ones that had passed away. And it's a very unexpected thing to lose your parents at that age, and everyone has a very different way of approaching you when you, well, essentially become an orphan. I mean, I was in my 20s, so I wasn't like a child orphan, but it was a very different thing from when you lose an elderly relative, where things are more expected, and it's still sad. I'm not trying to downplay that, but that for me put a lot more of a spotlight on me, because I was now all of a sudden I was the blind orphan girl. So for me to be able to sing was a way to get away from that a little bit, and I was very glad that I did have that task.
Yes, I can see that, actually. And also, if you have a job, then you have a place to be and you have a routine, and you can say, right, I must be at the front of the church by this time, and this is what I'm going to do. And I do find that very helpful, because, of course, inevitably people, like I say, they're distracted by their own mourning, don't really necessarily know what to do, what to say, how to approach you. The funeral might not be in a church that you're especially familiar with. And so they say, well, where do you want to sit, or who do you want to be with? And you don't know, because you don't know anybody who's there. And so actually to be able to have something like that where you can say, yes, I must be at the front, actually, I do find that very, very helpful.
I do think that a time where funerals can be a little bit awkward for someone with sight loss is when you are at a funeral of someone that you didn't know particularly well, but you're attending the funeral because you were a friend, but you might not have been that close, or you might have been working with them, or there might be some other reason why you're attending, but you don't particularly know the person who has passed away, you don't particularly know their family, but you are there to support one of the other mourners. And that is a more awkward one, where you kind of think, okay, what do I do? I am not somebody who's close to anybody. Do I sit at the back? And in that kind of occasion, I would never go to a funeral on my own unless I had somebody there, because of that awkwardness of, yeah, everyone is mourning, I'm just here to support someone, and nobody really has the time to be guiding me around and making sure I have my Braille service sheet or whatever. So I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
I mean, I think if I was going to a funeral like that, there would be somebody else going. There'd be a parent or a grandparent or a friend, or, you know, an aunt or an uncle or something, you know. So I would, yeah, I don't think I'd be in a position at the moment where I'd have to go completely on my own. And that would be very daunting if I had to do that. On Braille service sheets, though, I have found funeral directors are surprisingly helpful. I mean, churches are pretty good as well. If the funeral is organized by the church, you can contact the church and say, can you email me the service sheet? And they generally sort of look at you a bit blankly and say, you what excuse me? But you explain the situation, and they're generally very helpful. Funeral directors are also really helpful like this. I remember the first time I was playing the organ for a funeral, and I needed a copy of the service sheet, and I just emailed the funeral director. I said, look, I'm the organist, can you send me the service sheet? And they said, yes, of course, no problem. And so, yeah, when my nan died, I did the same thing. My dad said, oh, well, yes, we're not going to be able to get you a service sheet, but I'll just tell you what's going on. And I said, oh, no, it's no problem, because this was at a crematorium, so there just really was not the infrastructure to do it. I said, oh, it's no problem. I'll just email the funeral directors. And he said, no, you can't possibly do that. You can't email the funeral directors. I said, yeah, I do it all the time. It, you know, when I'm doing my job. And sure enough, yes, email painters and said, look, I'm a blind mourner. I'd like the service sheet. Can you email it to me? I think on one occasion, I've done it two or three times now. On one occasion, they said, look, we need to contact the person organizing the funeral to check that, you know, he's happy with that. But yeah, they got that data protection clearance and emailed me the sheet, and it was a lovely accessible PDF document. And I suppose I'm lucky in a sense in that I have an embosser here that can produce Braille, and I have an electronic Braille display that can read it. But yeah, they will do their best to make things accessible if you contact them. The thing is, people don't realize they can contact them.
So what is the easiest way to get hold of the funeral director? I mean, if you are part of planning the funeral yourself, or if is a close family member, then you should know who they are. But what if you're a bit more remotely related to someone, but you're still attending?
So this happened over the summer, actually, and I just went up the chain. So it was a friend of my grandparents called Margaret, and I didn't know Margaret terribly well, but my grandparents didn't, and they didn't know Margaret's family. They just knew Margaret. And so I actually contacted my grandparents and said, I need the order of service. Do you know who the funeral director is so I can acquire it? And they said, oh, no, we don't, but we'll contact so-and-so. And basically it just went up the chain until eventually it got to the person who was organising the funeral, who said, oh, yes, absolutely, it's no problem. Contact this person and they'll sort it out.
So after the funeral, there is usually some kind of a wake or some kind of a celebration / commemoration meal or drinks or however you are deciding to do it. And this is a bit reminiscent of when we talked about Easter breakfast and what we need to keep in mind in those kind of circumstances. Where I find that the social part of the funeral is different to other occasions such as weddings. So yes, the weddings are very noisy, there's loads of people, well, they can be anyway, but everything is quite organized in the sense of, well, unless you have an African wedding like me, but everything is very organized in terms of what tends to be very organized in terms of having, you know, sit down meal courses, everything is being served. This is a bit different at funerals because it's a place where people tend to mingle quite a lot. And as a mourner, I still found that a very confusing time, again, because in my case, it was, oh, poor Lynn, she has become an orphan. How is she going to deal with life? You know, I had people who just wanted to talk to me at every angle, and it was very difficult for me to kind of get food and to get refreshments and sit down. And as much as it is a morning thing, you know, I want to sit down and get my equilibrium back, so to speak, because it is a very overpowering sensation to lose someone that close to you. It wasn't, unfortunately, unexpectedly. The only thing that was unexpected was that they were as young as they were. But yeah, I don't know how you found it when you had the wake at your nan's funeral or the commemoration part as a mourner.
Mm. I realised just how far away I drifted from my family, actually. I think one of the things I'd said in an earlier episode of this is that it can be really helpful to have somebody in these sorts of environments who just knows you really, really well and who knows what you want and who can just sort you out. And that used to be my family. And it turns out it's now, you know, friends of mine from church, actually, and from other parts of the community. And so, yeah, it was really awkward because obviously everybody was trying to talk to my dad because he just lost his mum. And in the meantime, my dad's trying to help me and doesn't really know how to help me anymore because we haven't been to very many occasions like this, you know, as a family. And so, yeah, I think if I was going to a funeral of another family member, I would hope by then that I would have a wife or a long-term girlfriend or somebody who I could take with me to help me with these sorts of things. And if it was, to be honest, if it was a funeral of my parents, I would probably actually just say, even if I didn't have a wife or a girlfriend by then, I think I would probably just say, look, I'm going to bring somebody who knows me very well, who can sort me out, because I'm just not going to be in a good enough mental state to be able to deal with people, you know, to be able to answer how is it best to help you? And normally that is the thing to do, but I'm just not going to be able to answer those questions. I just need somebody to sort it out.
Yeah, so my mom and dad's funeral, they were a little bit different from each other, because my mom's funeral was planned by my dad, and it was me and my brother and my other dad who planned my dad's funeral. So I was in much more control of who attended, and I did exactly what you're saying. I made sure that I had people around me who were friends of mine. I had my sister, so my sister is from my other family, so I had my sister with me, I had my cousin with me, and I would then always have somebody to get me stuff, or when there were too many people around me and I just didn't want to talk to them anymore, they could sort of work out from my expression that I was tired of talking to people, and they would engage me in something. So that does actually make a huge difference.
Well, that's all for this episode of Insights from Sight Loss Friendly Church. Thank you very much for listening. If you've got any comments or you'd like us to discuss anything on the podcast, then you can reach us on 01858 438 260. You can email slfc@torchtrust.org. That's SLFC for Sight Loss Friendly Church. Or you can visit our website at torchtrust.org. From myself, Matthew Horspool, and Lynn Davis, thanks very much for listening, and we'll see you again next time.